Can I ask the congregation please to stand? Let me welcome each and every one to this very happy and this very special occasion in the lives of both Stephen and Sarah. We do welcome the Alexander and the Anderson family circles and all of the friends as well of Stephen and of Sarah. We do welcome Mr. Murray Sr. and also Stephen's aunt, Heather, who are tuning in online. And we do trust that the online means hold up for you and you can be part of our service this day. Let me just welcome as well and mention all of those that are taking part at this stage. Mr. Robert Alexander will be doing a reading. Reverend Thomas Murray will be undertaking the vows. Mr. Colin Murray will be bringing an address to the new couple. And also Mr. Robin Wilson will be closing in prayer. And then during the signing, Jessica Wilson will be singing. We welcome them as well. It's a joy to have this occasion in our church. It's been a joy to know and to be Stephen's minister for the last 4 years and to watch as the Lord has blessed him and as the Lord has undertaken for him in his life. It's been a joy to see Stephen and Sarah come together. The first time that I met Sarah was during lockdown. And Stephen was here. The church was closed. We were doing an online service and Stephen was on the desk making sure that everything went out safely. And he brought Sarah with him. And that evening she got both barrels of the sermon because no one else was here. And would you believe she came back. And she stuck with Stephen. And it has been a joy to see how the Lord has brought them together. And how the Lord has brought them to this point even in their lives. And we're delighted for them. And we do pray that the Lord's blessing will be upon them both today and in their marriage together. They are here, not only before this congregation, but before Almighty God, to take vows before the Lord to remain faithful one to the other for the remainder of their lives. Let me just mention this to both Stephen and to Sarah, that holy matrimony is an honourable estate. It's instituted by God in the time of man's innocency, signifying unto us the mystical union that is between Christ and his church. That estate Christ ordained and beautified with his own presence at the wedding feast. And that wedding feast was also the place where Christ undertook his first miracle when he turned the water into wine at the marriage in Cana of Galilee. Marriage is also commended of Paul to be honorable among all men. And therefore, from the outset, even of this wedding service, we do remind both Stephen and Sarah that marriage is not to be entered into unadvisedly, lightly or wantonly, but it is to be entered into reverently, discreetly, advisedly, soberly, and in the fear of God, duly considering that matrimony was first ordained for the mutual society, help and comfort that the one ought to have of the other, both in prosperity and adversity. And as we commence our services today, we're going to sing together, and we're going to join together to sing the first hymn that's on your order of service. It is the Psalm 100, All People That on Earth Do Dwell. And after the introduction, we will stand as we sing together, please. You may be seated. We're going to unite together in a word of prayer and seek the blessing of the Lord both upon this day and upon the lives of Stephen and of Sarah. Let's pray together. Father, In heaven we bow in thy holy presence. We do rejoice in this wonderful day that thou hast blessed us with. We can truly say this is a day that the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. We thank thee for the cause in which we join together in thy presence today. We do rejoice, O God, in what thou hast done in the lives of Stephen and of Sarah. We thank thee for the day and hour that thou didst see of both of them. We thank thee, O God, for that mercy that thou hast shown to them, and the grace wherewith thou hast called them unto thyself. We praise thee for saving grace. We praise thee for that keeping grace, even in their lives up until this point. We thank thee, O God, for bringing them together. We thank thee for that love that there is between them. We thank thee, O God, for that desire there is to be husband and to be wife. We thank thee today in Northern Ireland another Christian home is being set up. We praise thee for this, O God, even in the days in which we live, that there is yet another home where the light of the gospel will shine forth. Lord, we pray for Stephen and Sarah today as they will exchange their vows before this congregation, before thee, Almighty God. We pray that thou wilt bless them. We pray, O God, that as they enter this time together, this new chapter in their lives, that thou wilt bless them richly indeed, that they will know that divine visitation of the Lord upon their lives, that they will know the presence of God with them each and every day. Lord, bless them today. Bless them every day of their marriage together. Lead them and guide them, and undertake for them as a couple. We remember their families as well. We thank thee for the Christian upbringing that both have received even to this point. Lord, we pray for the Alexander and for the Anderson families, that thou wilt continue to keep thy hand upon both of them, that thou wilt bless them, and, O God, that thou wilt do all of the family circle good, even as there now is that change with, as it were, one leaving, but also another coming into the family. Lord, may each join into the family circles, and may it be that beautiful, even relationship between all members, we pray thee. Lord, we're mindful of this service. We're mindful of the help that is needed. We pray for each one that has a part to play. We pray for thy blessing to be upon each one. We pray most of all, O God, that thou wilt bless us with thy presence, that we will know that God is in the midst of this house, that we will know that God's hand is upon this congregation and indeed upon this couple. Lord, undertake, we pray thee, keep thy hand upon each and upon every one in the days that lie ahead. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're going to turn once again to our order of service and to the second hymn, Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of Creation. And at the end, no, sorry, I missed a bit, didn't I? Would you believe I'm the nervous one out of everybody? I do apologize, Mr. Robert Alexander. We're going to have the scripture reading, and we're going to ask Mr. Alexander to go to the pulpit, please, and to read to us.
We're going to read from the Bible, Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him." And out of the ground the Lord formed every beast of the air, and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an help meet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall become one flesh."
Thank you, Robert. Now we're going to sing our second hymn on the order of service. Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. O my soul, praise him, for he is thy health and salvation. At the end of this hymn, the Reverend Thomas Murray is going to come forward to undertake the vows between Stephen and Sarah.
The congregation may be seated. Could I first of all thank Stephen and Sarah for asking me to take part in this service today. Over the years, of course, I've done many marriages, and every one of them is special, but it's especially so when you're performing the marriage of someone that you have known all of their life. And it's been a joy to watch Stephen grow up into the fine young man that he is, and also to see his walk with the Lord and him using his talents for the Saviour. And that joy, of course, is multiplied today in seeing him marrying Sarah, who shares his faith and also shares his love for the Lord. So it's been my privilege as Stephen's uncle to tie the knot for them today. So I suppose I better get on with it and make sure I tie it good and tight. The laws of our country lend their sanction to marriage. If therefore anyone can show just cause why these two persons may not lawfully be joined together in matrimony, let him now declare it, or else hereafter forever hold his peace. I require and charge you both that if either of you know any impediment why you may not lawfully be joined together in matrimony, ye do now confess it. Stephen, if you repeat after me, I do solemnly declare, that I know not, of any lawful impediment, why I, Stephen Alexander Anderson, may not be joined in matrimony, to Sarah Ann Alexander. I do solemnly declare, that I know not, of any lawful impediment, why I, Sarah Ann Alexander, may not be joined in matrimony. To Stephen Alexander Anderson. Would the congregation please stand? Stephen, wilt thou have this woman to be thy lawful wedded wife, to live together after God's ordinance in the holy estate of matrimony? Wilt thou love her, comfort her, honor and keep her in sickness and in health, and forsaking all others, keep thee only unto her, so long as ye both shall live?
I will.
Sarah, wilt thou have this man to be thy lawful wedded husband, to live together after God's ordinance in the holy estate of matrimony? Wilt thou love him, obey, honor, and keep him in sickness and in health, and forsaking all others, keep thee only unto him, as long as ye both shall live?
I will.
Who giveth this woman to be married to this man?
I do.
If you would take the bride's right hand. And Stephen, just repeat after me. I call upon these persons.
I call upon these persons.
Here present to witness.
Here present to witness.
That I, Stephen.
That I, Stephen.
Do take thee, Sarah.
Do take thee, Sarah.
To be my lawful wedded wife.
To be my lawful wedded wife.
For better, for worse.
For better, for worse.
For richer, for poorer.
For richer, for poorer.
In sickness and in health.
In sickness and in health.
To love and to cherish.
To love and to cherish.
Till death us do part.
Till death us do part.
Sarah, I call upon these persons.
I call upon these persons.
Here present to witness.
Here present to witness.
That I, Sarah.
That I, Sarah.
Do take thee, Stephen.
Do take thee, Stephen.
To be my lawful wedded husband.
To be my lawful wedded husband.
For better, for worse.
For better, for worse.
For richer, for poorer.
For richer, for poorer.
In sickness and in health.
In sickness and in health.
To love and to cherish.
To love and to cherish.
Till death us do part.
Till death us do part.
As a token of the covenant into which you have entered, rings will now be exchanged. I give thee this ring.
I give thee this ring.
As a token and a memorial.
As a token and a memorial.
That I have taken thee.
That I have taken thee.
To be my wife.
To be my wife.
I give thee this ring.
I give thee this ring.
As a token and a memorial.
As a token and a memorial.
That I have taken thee.
That I have taken thee.
To be my husband.
To be my husband.
Whom God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. For as much as Stephen Alexander Anderson and Sarah Ann Alexander have covenanted together in holy wedlock before God and in the presence of these witnesses, I now declare them husband and wife in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. You may kiss your new bride. The congregation may be seated. Let us just bow together in a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy presence with us here this afternoon. And as we bow before thee, we recognize that marriage is a divine ordinance instituted by thee in the Garden of Eden. We thank thee for the couple whose lives have been joined together. And we thank thee for drawing them even one to the other. And we thank you, Lord, that they commence their married life today in thee. And to that end, we praise thee for that moment in their lives when they came to know thee as their own and their personal Savior. We ask, Lord, that even as they have today become one flesh, that thou wouldst be with them and that thou wouldst help them not to live for themselves, but to live for each other. We ask, Lord, for Stephen, and we pray that even as the head of the home, that thou wouldst give to him help and wisdom in the days that lie ahead. And we ask that even as the head feels the pain or the discomfort in the body, that he will always be sensitive to the needs of Sarah. Help him even also to be her protector. We thank you, Lord, for Sarah, and we ask that thou wouldst give to her that new frame of mind for the new state into which she has entered even today. We think of how that even Eve was given to Adam as an helpmate. And we pray, Lord, that thou wouldst help her even to be a helpmate to Stephen, to come alongside of him and to encourage him and to be a help to him in the days that lie ahead. As we gather today, we're also reminded even of thy word spoken there in the mount, and when you said that seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And Lord, we ask that even as they commence married life, that thou wouldst help them always to seek thee first, to put thee first even in their lives. And we would therefore claim the promise that thou wouldst add even all those other things that thou didst mention even in that chapter unto them, and that thou wouldst be with them and undertake for them. We do remember also the both families. We thank you for them. And we pray, Lord, that thou wouldst bless them even in the days that lie ahead. So, Lord, we give thee praise for these two lives. We pray as they start out on life's journey as a married couple that thou wouldst go before them and that thou wouldst bless them richly. For we ask these things, Lord, in thy name and for thine glory. Amen. Amen. I want to ask at this stage Mr. Colin Murray from the Iron Hall Evangelical Church to come, and he's going to bring God's Word.
Well, just like the Reverend Murray, I too consider it a real privilege to be here this afternoon and have been asked just to bring a little word at this very special occasion. We've been close friends with the Alexander family for many years and have enjoyed meeting Stephen and get to know him over recent times. And on behalf of our family and also on behalf of the Iron Hall Evangelical Church in Belfast, we want to wish you God's richest blessings for the years ahead and congratulate you on your marriage. I'd like to read some verses together from Ephesians chapter 5, beginning to read at verse 22. And this is the word of the Lord. Wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church and is the Savior of the body. Therefore is the church a subject unto Christ. So let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So men ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, else be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. You'll have noticed over the while that people have many things to say about marriage. I know these two in front of me today have been able to share and joke that they have endless advice from people over recent times. Some good advice and some humorous and everything else that goes with that. But people have said many things about marriage over the years. And for many people in our world today, unfortunately, marriage is irrelevant. It's inconsequential. It doesn't mean anything. But as we gather here today, we know that marriage was designed by God. It is what God intended from the beginning of time. And if entered into with proper thought and intention, it is a blessing to the couple. Indeed, it is the bedrock of all of society. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 22 says, "Whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favour of the Lord." Winston Churchill once famously said, "My most brilliant achievement was my ability to be able to persuade my wife to marry me." I don't think Sarah needed too much persuasion when it came to the time. But Stephen, you have found a wife, and you find a good thing, and obtained favour of God. And Stephen and Sarah, our prayer is, again, that with God's help, you will both enjoy married life together as long as you both live. I spent many hours over the last week or two looking over the internet for advice on marriage, and I'm sure you can imagine. There's 3 pillars for a good marriage, 5 pillars for a good marriage, 7 pillars for a good marriage, 10 things to do before you get married, 8 things to do after you get married, 9 things to do to maintain your marriage, and so it goes on. Lots and lots of advice. Lots of worldly wisdom. Some of it's pretty good. Others, you would just say, nonsense. But as we're here this afternoon and we gather together, I think it's a question that we'd all like to ask. We'll be interested to know, how do you have a good and a strong marriage? Henry Youngman once said, "The secret of a happy marriage remains a secret." But you know, he's wrong. It isn't a secret. The Word of God tells us about our roles in marriage, how we ought to conduct ourselves in marriage, with regards to our attitudes, with regards to our actions and our words towards each other, and when there are difficulties or differences of opinion, how we ought to resolve those issues. It's all there if we take time to read it, and I'm sure the ground's been well covered in the marriage classes you've attended over recent weeks. Just 3 things to mention then about a strong marriage. First thing, simply this, the foundation of a strong marriage. Marriage was created for all mankind, and it is true that there are many couples who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, who have lived happily many years together, and we'd say they've had a good marriage. But in truth, it hasn't been a full marriage. There's another relationship that needs to come in to your real marriage to really get the full benefit of it, that needs to be considered. And in the verses that we read together, over 10 times in different ways the Lord is mentioned, and that points us towards what the real foundation of marriage ought to be. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 127, verse 1, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain." Everything in our lives must be built upon a relationship with Him. Stephen and Sarah were both blessed to grow up in Christian homes. In the early ages, church was a constant each Lord's Day, and Sunday school and children's meetings and all the things that went with that. At 4 years of age, Sarah asked her mum how she could get to heaven. And that night she trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior. At 8 years of age, she said after a gospel service, she had a little wobble one night and wondered, maybe was she too young, that she really saved? And her parents again pointed out to her that verse. But the Lord Jesus Christ, as He called the children, says, "Suffer little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God." And she realized that she was genuinely saved. Stephen, as a little boy, again knew from an outset, again with his upbringing here, that he too needed to be saved. At 9 years of age, after a Sunday evening meeting, he trusted the Lord Jesus as a Savior. He remembers praying a simple prayer and asking the Lord to save him. And he describes that as something which was so simple and yet so miraculous. And of course, there have been some testing times at school, testing times with illness in the family and losing a close friend. But through all those years, the Lord has sustained them and helped them as he continues to follow after the Lord. The Bible tells us that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting love, everlasting life. God gave a Son for you, and you have given your lives to Him. And while maintaining that essential relationship, you now have to give yourselves to each other. If there's a secret, then this is it. When you both have a right relationship with God, walking with Him each day, then your relationship with each other will be right. If you both strive to be like Him and reflect His love in your marriage, and you will have His help to do that. And having the Lord in your marriage adds a spiritual dimension to the emotional and to the physical. You can read God's word together. You can pray together. And when the storms come, and they will come, then you can hold on to Him and trust Him together. And it's only when marriage is built on the rock, Christ Jesus, that it truly can be all that it was meant to be. You're built on the right foundation. Keep building on that foundation in the years to come. Foundation of strong marriage. But then, secondly, there's the fundamentals of a strong marriage. There are some pillars that you can build your marriage on. One of them, of course, is love. And we read many things about that. Not movie love, as we call it, that easy come, easy go, or sexual desire. But this is a deeper spiritual love. In Genesis 24 and 67, we read, "And Isaac brought her unto his mother Sarah's tent, and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death." It's a little simple phrase. He took her home, and he loved her. Wedding vows are not a declaration of present love, but a mutually binding promise of future love. And of course, in 1 Corinthians 13, which we're familiar with, it tells us all about what real love really looks like. There's things, again, there that we can look at that would encourage us and challenge us for the days ahead. Let me just mention a few of them that are particularly relevant to marriage. Verse 4 talks about suffereth long. And that talks about patience, endurance, even when provoked or long-tempered. And I hope you'll not provoke each other too often during marriage. But if you do, love doesn't retaliate. It also says that love is kind, and that refers to active goodness. It's never hateful, it's never mean. Love is kind in words and in actions. Verse 5 tells us that it doesn't behave itself unseemly, it's never rude, but it always treats others with compassion, consideration, and respect. Verse 5 again says, "Seeketh not her own." True love is never selfish and self-centered, but it's interested in others. What will profit the other person in marriage, that their needs come before our own? Again, in verse 5, it says that it's not easily provoked, not irritable. I think we can all agree that at times we can be a little bit irritable with each other, quick to start an argument, but that ought not to be the case, just to be slow in those situations. And then it says, "Thinketh no evil." In other words, it takes no worthless inventory. It doesn't record all the things and all the wrongs. It forgives and it forgets. It doesn't park them or file them away for another occasion when they're brought out and brought again to remind us of past failures. But in love, we forgive each other and we move on together. And then verse 6 says, "Rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth." And sometimes even to be kind and to be true to each other, you'll have to share things with each other. And sometimes the truth can hurt. But again, it's rejoicing in truth. It's love. But also in the verses that we had read to us earlier on, that was entitled "The First Marriage," we see again there's a loyalty, because it talks about, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh." Bringing us all the way back to the book of Genesis, chapter 2, there's a leaving and there's a cleaving. There's a change in the relationships. Up until now, you've both enjoyed very happy family homes, and your main and primary responsibility has been to your parents. But for this day forward, that's going to change. The relationship with your parents and your siblings will remain strong, and we encourage you to keep in touch and develop those relationships. But of course, now the priority is your marriage relationship, and that's the first priority. And so the parents and everything else are still there, but that has been left behind for another relationship, a cleaving together, if you like. And that verse, as we know in the Bible, when translated literally, means glued together, inseparable, a bond which, as they brought together, cannot be torn apart. They two shall be one flesh, united together physically, emotionally, and spiritually. At the end of 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 7, it says, "Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things." That's the loyalty that you have for each other that takes whatever life might bring. And we don't know what life brings for us. It always trusts the other. It only believes the best. And it sticks at it no matter what. Love and loyalty. And then there's respect. In Ephesians 5, verses 22 to 24, these are verses which are so misused by many. Many who don't understand these verses would balk at them. Modern society's view of submission is inferiority. Some men would maybe misuse this verse. They almost dictate that their wife needs to do whatever they're asked to do. But as the wife submits, the Bible says that she submits as unto the Lord. And it speaks of her relationship to God. Verse 25, husbands are asked to love their wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. What a love that is. What a standard that is for any husband here today to try to reach. Verse 29 says, a husband is to nourish and cherish his wife. That word cherish, translated again, means to bring to maturity. Stephen, your duty is to make Sarah maximize her potential in Christ to be the best person that she can possibly be. To cherish, again, that means to soften with heat. And that's to give her all the tender love that she needs throughout your married life together. Martin Luther once said, "Let the wife make the husband glad to come home, and let him make her sorry to see him leave." And that's the key, isn't it? To love and to serve each other in such a way that there's such a real strong bond again, that any parting, any time is a grief, and any time to come together brings joy. But then finally, not just the foundation, not just the fundamentals, but finally and briefly, the fruit of a small marriage. The first thing is this, it sanctifies the home. So submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. If you both live out these principles in your lives, then God will be at the center of your home. When you get back from your honeymoon, will your house will be filled with lots of nice new things which you'll enjoy and people have been kind to give. But remember that a house isn't a home. And whatever the Lord may lead you both through your life, make sure that God has center place. Where you meet together with God, where family, friends, and strangers are all welcomed. A place where God is pleased to bless. It sanctifies the home, but it also glorifies the Savior. Again, in the passage that we read together, it says, "This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. And the marriage that honors the word of God and the will of God will bring glory to God." So seek to glorify God in your marriage, whatever that may look like, and however you can do it, just ask for God's help day by day. And then finally, it witnesses to the lost. It's a lovely picture in Scripture, isn't it? That marriage is really a picture of Christ, again, and his bride, the church. It needs to be a portrayal of how much Christ loves the church and how he gave himself for it, and that's a real challenge for everyone in marriage to do that day by day. But as others in the world look on in your marriage, they ought to see a love, a Christ-like love, as well as a human love, something which goes over and above the norm. They ought to see the patience and the slow to anger and understanding and forgiveness and love and hope and all of these other things which ought to be evidences that we belong to Christ and that this marriage is his. What a challenge. But the good news today is that the Lord himself goes with you and will help you as you do that. You've chosen your love and each other, and now love your choice. And may the Lord enable you both to build a happy, long, and strong Christ-centered marriage together. Amen. In a moment, we're going to stand together and sing the closing hymn in your order of service, "In Christ Alone." At the end of that hymn, can I ask you all to remain standing, please, when Mr. Robin Wilson comes and closes in a word of prayer. Thank you.
Amen. Shall we bow and ask God's blessing on our coming together? Father, just now we come before thee again and we give thee thanks for thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee, Father, that thy Son ever left thy side and came into this world by the way of a virgin womb and went to Calvary's cross, and there he died in her room and in her stead. And we're so thankful today, Father, as we have witnessed this marriage, that Sarah and Stephen have a moment in time when they can look back to, when they came to know Christ as their own and personal Saviour. And Father, they started for the journey to heaven and to home. We thank thee for every head bowed here, Father, that have a moment of time in their life when they have come to know Christ as Saviour. And we would pray, Father, that if there's any here today that still have not got that personal relationship with thy Son, that even at this wedding, Father, and it would be such a joy to all of us and to Sarah and Stephen, if there was any here who are not saved, would put their faith and trust in the one who died for them at the place called Calvary. As we leave ourselves shut up to thee for the rest of this day, we thank thee for thy presence. We would ask that thou would continue with us throughout the day at the signing of the register. And later, Father, as we go travel again on the roads, we would ask for journey and mercies. We would leave ourselves before thee, asking that thou would brood over us throughout this day, and thanking thee most of all, and from the depth of our heart, Father, for thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We leave ourselves before thee, and thank thee for him in his worthy and peerless name. Amen.
Not the only one who made a mistake today. A couple of things. Firstly, on behalf of Six Mile Cross Free Presbyterian Church, I want to congratulate the new Mr. and Mrs. Anderson, and we do pray that the Lord will bless them, the Lord will be with them in the days that lie ahead. Your first gift as a married couple is the Bible that Mr. Murray preached from this morning. It's inscribed to both of you, and that is the rule book for your life, your marriage together. May it ever be there in your home. May it ever be opened. May it ever be read. And may you know the Lord's blessing. Can we just mention a couple of announcements now on behalf of Stephen and Sarah? They're going in now to sign the register, and we invite the two Mr. Murrays as well to come into the minister's room. Once the bridal party re-emerge after the signing of the register, the bride and groom kindly ask that everyone please remain in the building just for a moment. They want a couple of pictures just at the entrance together. And then upon the usher's guidance, then yous will be escorted or invited then to leave the building afterwards. So just give them a couple of minutes once they re-emerge, please. There is confetti as well. The ushers have it for you. And so that will be there afterwards. You'll see the order of service has the plan for the rest of the day. And we do mention to each one that is continuing with the bridal party onto Brownlow House. If you can make your way there for 2:30, there is lunch provided for each one. So do make that effort to be there as quickly as possible. For those who are unable to attend Brownlow House, both Stephen and Sarah, thank you for coming and for joining with them here in the church, and pray the Lord's blessing upon you. One final announcement. Anyone with mobility issues, there is access at Brownlow House via the overflow car park, which is round the back of the building. And there is the access doors for those with mobility issues. Hi, Stephen. Take a breath.
Thank you.
We ask the congregation to please stand to receive your bride and groom. Thank you.